wants to say over 300 uses for the peanut, but I can't be sure of that. But it was a lot of things that the peanut, God gave him about those peanuts. And so this is the plethora of ways that God could give us wisdom and knowledge and understanding, you know. And it goes hand in hand in the Bible, you know, that we know that what we start and we stand to gain knowledge about God as we can know him. As we get to know him, we get to have this understanding and this knowledge of him. And this will give us a plethora of ways that it can be used in our life, whether it's our social life, our spiritual life, our financial life, whatever is going on in our life. The knowledge of God is a great help, and it can point us into the right direction for anything that we need. So we know that God, in the scriptures, you know, he tells us that we will be strong and we will do exploits, you know, if we know him. He says, if we know our God, we will be strong and we will do exploits. You know, God will use us and he will work through us to do miracles, signs, and wonders. That's those exploits that he'll help us to do. And good things come from God's knowledge. It is of the spirit, you know, it is of the truth. That is what the knowledge of God is, it's spirit and it's truth, and it comes from God. In Proverbs 2:6, it says, for the Lord gives wisdom.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles, if you will, to the book of John, chapter 12, verse 32. I won't be before you long, because the text isn't long. John 12, verse 32. And it simply says, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of the word. You may be seated in God's presence. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. These words spoken by Jesus is helpful for us to understand, as revealed in verse 33, the type of death that Jesus himself would die. It's important to understand Jesus knew his purpose. Jesus knew his power. And Jesus knew he was sent to save the lost house of Israel and all who would accept him as their Savior and Lord. It's important to recognize that Jesus kept before his ministry his mission. He never lost sight of his mission doing ministry. And one of the things that's so important about the authentic and attractive ministry of Jesus is that everything he did was according to Scripture and to that that had to do with him fulfilling the mission of saving the lost sheep of Israel. One of the things, again, that I think will be helpful to us in understanding ministry work is that we don't get caught up in ministry that we too forget the mission. You see, if we ever forget to lift Jesus up, our ministry to men becomes worthless. We simply minister to the temporal, to the carnal, to that that is physical. But if you really want to minister to the spiritual, they've got to see Jesus. And they've got to see Jesus in a whole new light, revelation, and understanding as it relates to them, to their salvation, to their eternity, and to everything that's concerning and connected to them by way of both earth and eternity. And the only way that they're going to do that is if they have a full understanding of who Jesus is. And I think it's important for the people of God to understand that we have got to. It is our responsibility. Jesus cannot lift up himself. It's not his job. It's not his role. It's not his responsibility. It is the responsibility of those of us who have been saved by Jesus Christ to understand that we now carry the awesome responsibility of causing others to see Christ for themselves. Many times Christ cannot be seen because we have done so much ministry work that focuses on that is minuscule rather than that is major. And so many times we get caught up in our own programs and in our own events and in our own ideals. And I've got news for you. God has already laid out his plan. If the church would follow the plan of God, we wouldn't have to come up with chicken sales and fish fries and this sale and that sale. We wouldn't have to come up with all of these gimmicks and all of the rest of how we ought to operate. We would be functioning according to the word, the will, and the way of God as Jesus has already laid out for us in the Gospels. The church that is most like Jesus is the church that follows his footprints. Jesus left tracks for us to follow. And if we want to be like Jesus, then we need to follow what he did. He said these words, listen, occupy till I come. Well, Jesus, what do you want us to do till you come back? What I've already begun. He made it clear, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. Night cometh when no man can work. And so we've got to learn to be busy while it's day, while we have opportunity, while we have strength, while we are able to do the things that God has called us to do. Jesus is bringing judgment in upon the enemy and the things of the enemy, and he's making clear that he must be separated from the earth, lifted up from the earth, be seen from the earth. he must be differentiated from the earth so that men who are in need of him can see him. The question is, are we lifting up Jesus higher than ourselves? See, too many of us are too big in our ministries where Jesus does not shine or rise above us. We've got to be the biggest thing in our ministry. Something is wrong with that picture. Men ought to see you, but they ought to see you at the foot of the cross. And they ought to see Jesus high and lifted up. But before I go any further in this vein, I want to back up and tell you, because Jesus made clear that this would signify the type of death that he would die, meaning that he would die on the cross. He would die a death by evil men's hands, but needless to say, they wouldn't take his life. He gave his life. Matter of fact, they couldn't take him until he got ready. Matter of fact, they tried to take him many times before they got him, because the timing wasn't right. And so Jesus made clear, no man taketh my life, but I lay it down. And if I lay it down, I can take it back up again. But let me share with you why Jesus references this. If you were to turn back to the book of Numbers, chapter 21, you'll discover that the people of God had some enemies in Canaan. And they prayed to God that God would let them conquer, prevail, win the battle over their enemies. But God decided to take them another route, and they got mad with God, because they were like many of us today. We like our shortcuts to blessings. We don't necessarily want to go the way God wants us to go. We want a shortcut. We want a quick blessing. We want a right now blessing without right now works. We want to be able to be in a place where we just order God like he's an order taker, and not say, thy will be done, but mine. And so the Israelites were upset that God chose to use his own divine wisdom to lead them in another direction, and it took longer, and they started complaining, we don't have food to eat, we don't have water to drink, and as a matter of fact, they said it in the text, we don't like this light bread. They murmured, listen, against God, and they murmured against the man of God. And I don't know if you've gotten the message yet, but God hates murmurers. Well, who or what is a murmurer? I'm glad you inquired. A murmurer is somebody who tells somebody who can't do nothing about the problem and don't trust the one who said that I've got it all in my hand, trust me. See, in other words, when things don't work out the way you want them to work out, and God has already told you that they're going to work out, wait on him. Trust him. Believe him. Have faith in him. Don't you get to the point where you're impatient and become anxious because it doesn't work out when you want it to work out, does not happen when you want it to happen. Doors don't open when you say they ought to open. Things aren't fixed when you think they ought to be fixed. Ways aren't made when you think they ought to be made. All of these things have their purpose in God's timing. And so they murmured, and God got tired. So if you read the text, you'll know by now that God sent fiery serpents, snakes, dropping from heaven. And everyone they bit, they either killed or they were dying. God say, how you like me now? You want to act like I can't take care of you? You want to act like I can't make a way for you? You'd want to act like I don't have this thing fixed? You want to act like I'm not in control? Well, these fiery snakes come down from heaven and they start biting them. Biting them, biting them. And listen at what the Bible says they say. Moses, we have sinned. Is that right? Pray to the Lord. Why, you can't pray for yourself. See, now they want to go to the man of God and ask him to pray to God, because now, because the snakes have bit them, some they've watched die by them, some who've been bit are dying, and they're saying, pray for us, because we know you can get a prayer through. We know you have a relationship with God. We have sinned and we're sorry. In the 8th verse, God tells Moses what to do. He said, tell you what you do. He said, I want you to make a serpent of brass. And I want you to put that serpent on a pole. And wrap that snake around so that it can be seen at the top of the pole. And then I want you to lift the pole up. And when you lift the pole up, everybody that looks up to the serpent on the pole will be saved. Now, he sent fiery serpents to bite them and to kill those, but then those who had repented, he made a serpent of brass, put it on a pole, and lifted it up. What came down to destroy them, but what went up to deliver them. And everyone that saw the brazen serpent at the end of that pole looked up and lived. And Jesus references that story when he talks about him being lifted up on the cross. Notice what he says, and if I be lifted up. He's simply making clear, I can't lift myself up. It's going to take others to lift me up. He say, but here is the power. When I'm lifted up, something miraculous is going to happen. He says, will. Not how I feel. Will. A certainty, a surety. Will draw all men unto me. Well, the inference here is that all men who look up to Jesus Christ on the cross, no matter what their sin has been, no matter what their destruction has been, no matter what situation they've been in, when they look to Jesus lifted up on the cross, they too shall live. Jesus said in John 10:9, I am the door. When they look unto Jesus, he is the door to salvation and eternity. And that's the reason, my brothers and sisters, that we have got to learn the message of the cross and lifting up Jesus. Those of us who have seen him in the spirit by faith, none of us presently have ever seen Christ in the flesh or the cross he hung on. But it was by faith. By faith. By faith, the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It's because Jesus thought enough of us to come down from glory and take on the form of human flesh and deal with all of the issues that we would have to deal with, but yet without sin, so that he could speak to each and every one of the sin issues of man. He had to identify with him. Thanks be to God, we have a priest who is able to identify with all of our infirmities, with all of our sins, with all of our troubles, with all of our issues. There's nothing you can encounter that Jesus doesn't know anything about. See, he may not have done it, but he understands it. Because when he took on this form of human flesh, don't you think Jesus did not have temptations? Don't you think that Jesus did not have issues? Don't you think Jesus did not have problems? But he learned how to walk by faith and in the Spirit of the living God, which controlled all of these urges, all of these temptations, all of these choices, all of these decisions. And he tells us we can do the same in him. You see, when you begin to look at how Jesus is portrayed in this light, the reason why, and this is going to blow your mind when I tell you, the reason why the folk on the outside of the church aren't saved is because we got the crosses inside the church lifted up. They can't see them in here. So that means we've got to take the cross of Christ, the message of Christ, to the world and lift him up in the world where folk are looking for help and looking for hope and looking for everything that's necessary to bring them salvation. All of the stuff that they're trying, all of the stuff that they are privy to, it's because they're looking for something to fill the void underneath the skin, and nothing and nobody but Jesus can fill that vacuum underneath the skin. But when they see Jesus, I mean really see Jesus, they could be in a drunken stupor if they ever get a real look at Jesus. Oh, my brothers and my sisters, if they ever see him, he's stronger than the liquor that they drink. The drug addict, he can be on a high. Don't care whether it's crack, crank, LSD, all the rest of the names of it, it don't even matter to me. Jesus is more powerful than that. He can reach through that and still save them. He could save the pimp, the prostitute. He can save every damnable man on planet Earth if they could just see him for who he is. Because when they see him, really see him, they see the answer to their soul's desire. And my brothers and my sisters, it is the responsibility of every believer to be a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. How you are going to say you are saved and don't want to tell folk who saved you? How you going to say you're a Christian and don't want to tell folk about Christ? How you going to tell them you're a believer and you don't want to tell them what you believe in? How you going to tell them you're on your way to heaven and don't want to tell them about the one who saved you from hell? Jesus must be lifted up, listen at this, by you. There are some places you go that the cross of Christ needs to be lifted up. There are some people you know who need to hear the saving message of Christ and what he did at Calvary. God wants us to know the responsibility is ours. If his son could come down and take on the form of flesh and endure everything we had to deal with and take it upon himself, and then allow men to do the most unthinkable thing to the most holiest one who ever walked planet Earth, for you and for me, and we can't open up our mouths and tell somebody you need Jesus? Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there are no others. Jesus is the way. Oh, my brothers and my sisters, no matter whatever betides you, the good news is Jesus can handle it. Have I got a witness in the house? No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're dealing with, I promise you, if you learn to lift Jesus up through your problem, if you learn to lift Jesus up through your sickness, if you learn to lift Jesus up through your every concern, Jesus will fix your problem and bring you out on the victorious end. I wish I had a witness in the house. And no matter whatever you're dealing with, no matter what's going through you, have this confidence that Jesus paid it all. I said, Jesus paid it all. How many of you really know that Jesus, listen, if he didn't pay it for nobody else, he paid it for you. Have I got a witness? And I'm getting ready to leave you when I tell you, I'm so glad that I know him for myself. And I'm so glad that the same Jesus that came down the planet Earth looking for the lost sheep of Israel. John chapter 1 say he came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even unto them that believe on his name. And I believe on his name. I believe he died for me.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.